Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Adrian Buren, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. A very good morning. How are you?
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. And how about yourself?
I am good. Thank you. And happy Heritage Day. What are you doing up so early on this Heritage Day? Oh, yep. Anyway, well, we appreciate it. We appreciate you speaking to us so bright and early this morning. Professor, what is this nonsense? Does this make any sense to you? I thought the beta is so last year. Well,
it was. It had quite a profound effect in terms of the second resurgence, but certainly by now, as you know, the Delta variant has been the dominant variant, not only in South Africa, but essentially worldwide. So it's unclear whether that is, if that is the official explanation. I haven't seen that, but if it is, you're quite right that it's not a variant of concern, at least for the current scenarios, at least. I think it's important, though, I think that we just be cautious around what decision-making processes go around, you know, travel restrictions. And although I think we certainly have a good case, I think in terms of the beta variant, I think we just need to make sure that our own policies around travel and travel restrictions are fairly clear. So there's some very good guidance around how to approach some of this. But you're quite right. There may be other factors that influence around whether people are on the red list or not.
So can we just break this down? You say that the Delta variant, obviously, as we know, is the more dominant variant. Does that mean that the Beta variant has effectively disappeared, or that we are no longer concerned? Forget for a moment the travel aspect. Let's just look at South Africa.
Yeah, so at this particular point, when we look at the recent data, and again, unfortunately, the numbers that are sequenced, it's not that great in terms of to really get a sense of the distribution. But within that, those numbers, it looks as if the beta variant is not present in circulation. But again, I think we should just be cautious and look at the numbers again and see whether or not the beta variant is still there. But for all intents and purposes, it looks as if it's may well have died out, as it were, in terms of its evolutionary tree. Something else will obviously come along and replace it, but we will see what that is. We thought that C1.2 was it, I think it is. But even that particular variant, looking at its immunological profile, I think it also seems to be on the way out as well. So Delta is the variant for now.
Is that good news, that the Delta variant has been the dominant variant for quite some time now?
Not necessarily, because I think, I know that the vaccines are certainly effective, but again, you know, you still have high rates of transmission, and therefore you could still have high rates of disease and hospitalizations and so forth. Therefore, the vaccine coverage is therefore still really, really critical for us to manage this particular outbreak. And again, we can't really predict what's going to happen. Is something else going to replace Delta? Because it is, by all accounts, in terms of its degree of transmissibility, certainly the most potent variant that we have currently in circulation. Yes.
How good are countries at determining these types of things with regard to travel? Just to going now to talk about these so-called red lists. Is there a universal standard? I thought I read somewhere that it's not about the variants, but more about how many people per capita have been vaccinated. Is there a universal standard that we should be following and are following?
I don't think there's necessarily a universal standard. I think there's some sort of universal guidance approaches. So in other words, you would look at what is the current risk in terms of inbound travelers to one's country, and take that into account. So one would then assess in terms of, you know, what's the current state of South Africa's outbreak and its management in terms of the cases. And therefore, if they were travel to the UK, what volumes do the UK expect to see? given the current incidents in South Africa, for example. And then again, looking at, coming back to your other point around variants of concern, what is in circulation in South Africa? Do we know, if that, are there other variants of concern or of interest, that will influence some decision making? So there's a whole risk strategy and a whole risk mitigation, approach, as well as communication. So of course, in South Africa, we should not be promoting, travel to the UK of people who are unwell or do have symptoms of COVID-19. So those are the types of things we should also be knowing. It's not just simply about the travel, but making sure that our citizens are well enough to travel in order for them to gain access to the UK. And of course, on the point of the UK, they probably have their own particular strategies. And again, there's no universal strategy, but for example, are there approaches around screening at ports of entry, providing PCR testing or antigen testing and or isolation. But again, it's also taking into account what are the costs of this. Does this really infringe upon human rights in terms of the costs, because they become fairly prohibitive and therefore affecting travel? So those are the important considerations that each country needs to take into account. So there's broad guidance, but there's no definitive yay or nay that you must do the following. But I think what is critical, however, especially in terms of the variants, is to ensure that countries do have some level of being able to assess what is in circulation, because that's really going to be key. Because, you know, that really relates again to the vaccine programs. And again, vaccines should not be used as a sticking point about access to countries. It is important, but that should not necessarily be the only deciding factor about whether people should be able to enter our country or not.
But South Africa hasn't really had a strict policy at all with regard to people coming into South Africa, though. I think it was, our ports were either open or closed, but we never had rules. Well, is there a reason for that?
I'm not sure. I think that there were, I think there were approaches around the economy, I think in particular, I think was probably one major consideration. Also, the fact that it does become very difficult to control, you know, how, when we looked at the Delta variant, for example, there were no direct flights, I understand, between, India and South Africa. And yet we had the Delta variant. So it's really difficult, process to try and control egress and access and therefore the spread of variants. And therefore I think it comes back to the fact that do countries have the specific mechanisms, tools, operations to try and ensure that, you know, at the ports of entry, do we have some screening mechanisms? Do we have processes of performing PCR testing, isolation, tracing and tracking? These are the key elements, I think, that then become really important rather than just simply trying to put on a ban in terms of travel. Mm. We've seen that in Australia and New Zealand, you know, where they've really tried to control access outside of their ports, but yet, you know, they do have those particular points where you do have the Delta gaining access, or you can see in Australia again, where they've had to have multiple lockdowns to try and control what's actually happening. Yeah.
So would you think that perhaps the policy is the South African way, which is not to try and manage who comes in and out, because effectively, at the end of the day, it doesn't seem to make any difference to any country?
I think still with a level of caution, I think, you know, let's say there was a variant in country Y that we do know replaces Delta, for example, and we have some evidence that the effect on vaccines, the vaccine efficacy may well be compromised, then may well consider stepping up either a limiting access from those particular countries and or managing the process. So I think it just depends on how, when you assess those risks, what it is that you have in place to manage those particular risks, whether or not you're going to be capable of doing that, especially in the context of a variant that's going to be very different from Delta, then perhaps that may be important to consider. But if, for example, we know a fair proportion of individuals have been vaccinated and we can manage the small numbers of cases, then I think we should be fine.